Let's take a look at an announcement that came out this week from the Independent Electoral Commission, and the Independent Electoral Commission giving us a sort of timetable of how the political games are going to play themselves out in the new year.
The Commission held an engagement with the President on the preparation and planning of the election during the month of August. And subsequent to that, the President then announced his intention to hold elections before the end of May.
All right, so there is this kind of roadmap that we have in front of us, the indication coming from the Independent Electoral Commission that before the end of May next year, we're going to be having another election being run. Political parties going to be battling it out. We're going to be having new elected representatives and perhaps a whole new facelift in terms of the political leadership of our country. When we talk about elections, we know that another process is going to be ushered in, and that's the process of politicking. It's the process of campaigning. It's the process of voter registration. All of those are important elements in our democracy, but for many people, that is perhaps the end or the limit to which they contribute to our democracy. We voted in elections. We washed our hands clean. Let's wash the ink off. When the ink dries from, you know, the ink that you get at the polling booth, that's the end of my commitment to South Africa or my active engagement with democracy in South Africa. And I'll see you in 5 years' time. Now, there are people who are strongly urging South Africans to deepen their participation in democracy and active citizenship. And a group that I come across recently and I think are really championing this on a whole new level is a group called Dear South Africa. Oh, great honor this evening to be joined by the joint founder of this non-profit organization, also a founder of the action group, which was known as Stop the City of Cape Town, Sandra Dixon. Sandra, good evening. Thank you so much for your time.
Good evening, and thank you for having me,
Sandra. Important discussion, I think, right at the outset. You know, we could have this discussion, and it would still be relevant just the day after the elections or the day after the inauguration of the new president next year, and I think it would still be equally relevant. But let's set the tone from very early on. We're going to be hearing a lot of political speeches, a lot of campaigning. Everybody's going to, take one side or the other. Emotions are going to really reach pitch high, as we all see around the time of elections. There's going to be revelations. There's going to be mudslinging. We're used to all of this. And, you know, people get very excited. And the call from all political quarters and from civil society, vote, play your part, be an active citizen. But democracy or elections, rather, is just a drop in the ocean in terms of our contribution or the required contribution from us as citizens to the country. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. One thing that I have experienced in the last couple of months is our actual electoral system. And I am of the opinion that most people do not understand how it works. I get questions on a daily basis. For instance, we had a new mayor in Cape Town in the last 2 weeks, and people could not understand why they weren't voting for this new mayor, because the new mayor was appointed by the governing party in the Western Cape. Now, the point I'm trying to make is that our electoral system allows us as citizens to vote for a party. And once this specific or the political party basically gathered then all the votes, or most of the votes, or got a majority of the votes, they then appoint the president, and the president appoints the cabinet. So after that, there is no, as far as the public is concerned, avenue for public participation, which obviously now takes me into why I'm talking to you.
Yes, so is that just a perception that there's no avenues for public participation, or to some extent is that the reality as well?
Well, the perception is that there isn't, you know, so people feel helpless. I ran a snap survey on our group yesterday, and it was surprising and not surprising to me that the reason that people gave for not standing up or not questioning what government does is that they feel oppressed. They feel that government decisions are basically just forced upon them via the laws that the government that the ruling government makes. So people feel that if they complain or if they want something changed or a law changed or something changed that they do not like, most people feel powerless, and that after the election and for the next 4 or 5 years until the next election, there's absolutely nothing they can do.
So would you argue in terms of that yes, elections, you know, play an important role, and it's important for this dynamism that people are held to account? You know, we don't have an autocratic system where, you know, a particular regime or a particular political party can rule forever. So, you know, people are always kept on their toes, or this at least is one mechanism of keeping people on their toes by forcing people to re-elect or re-evaluate the political leadership every so often. But is South Africa's system or the way South Africa functions too heavily weighted on just elections?
At present it is. In our constitution, it allows for public participation, because when the constitution was written, it was said that never ever would any South African be subjected to an autocratic system, hence public participation. And the law that goes hand in glove with this stipulation in the constitution is called the PAJA, P-A-J-A Act. Now that allows extensively for public participation. For instance, if people look in their newspapers, for instance, today in the Cape Argus and sometimes in the report, you would see that there's a call for comment to the people. So the government, well, I'm just going to sort of give the one that it was the most prominent lately and which is in the news at the moment, is the land expropriation. Now, there was a call put out to the public to answer in writing to the government and give their opinion on the situation. Now, the PAJA Act allows for that, but then the Act goes further and it also allows for public hearings. Now, in this instance, the government decided or chose to do the public participation as in the written submissions as well as the public hearings. And at the moment, there's a big a big fight going on in Parliament, where one party to this whole to the land expropriation wants to only take the public hearings, in other words, the public's input at the public hearings, and they are disregarding the almost 700,000 emails and written submissions that were sent to the government. So I'm giving you an example of where public participation is really benefiting, or it potentially could benefit the public. However, the problem that we have and why we started with the Dear South Africa is that, for instance, in a matter as important as land expropriation, there were 700,000 written submissions. So the public is not aware that there are avenues which they can follow in between elections to influence the government, the government's decisions. And it also allows people that if they do not like a government decision, that there are avenues and there are various government organizations where one can actually go and lodge a complaint to. So there's actually a whole lot that people can do, but my experience over the last year is that people just don't know that they can do these things.
Now, those avenues are available. You know, the calls for public comment, etc., do exist. But do you know, just to follow up from what you've just said, does this not require from the part of government, and if they're not doing it actively enough, then you know, whoever else has the capacity to do so, inform people very lucidly and very simply what are these avenues and what are the different arms available of coming out of my tongue this evening, but should, you know, there be roadshows to get you know, different communities knowing what is actually available to them and how they can physically contribute to this democracy 24 hours a day, you know, 7 days a week, 365 days a year?
Absolutely. The PAGIA Act actually stipulates that the government should advertise and promote the Act, and they are just not doing it. And what we've found is, since we've started the Dear South Africa campaign, which is a platform where we make it easy for the man in the street to just go onto his cell phone and type in his name, type in his email address, and then comment on whatever the law or whatever the call for comment was. We found that in a couple of instances, and it was with the Western Cape government that had a call for public participation, as well as NERSA, that the government's inboxes got full, because they are just not used to the public actually participating on as a large scale as what we are, what our platform is allowing people to do. I had a call from a member of parliament when we did the call for, we answered the Gambling Act, there's changes to be made to the Gambling Act. And I got a phone call frantically one morning from Parliament saying, we are receiving all these emails, and how are we going to analyze them? So we've identified that we are succeeding to get the public to actually send comments and emails to the government on a call for comment on a quite a large scale. We are talking about thousands. For the Eskom thing, it's like over 100,000. And then the government does not have the facility to actually analyze all these emails. So that is something that we are in the new year going to be taking up with the government organizations, in that they are getting, we are participating, but then they are not analyzing it, and a whole bunch of people are thinking that they are doing it in vain and nothing is happening. But we will take it further, in the sense that it's public participation, we've come this far, and we will force the government to actually apply their laws.
Now, even if the government has the capacity, hypothetically speaking, to analyze the contributions that come through via email or via the various public hearings that occur, there still be the skeptic, Sandra, would say that, you know, the government is doing this to fulfill a formality. You know, it has to do go through these processes before laws are gazetted, etc. But at the end of the day, you know, the high and mighty have already determined which way they want to go, whether they want increases or not, whether they want to pass particular amendments or not. And therefore, you know, this is just a way to appease the masses. But at the end of the day, you know, this is still going to all be in vain.
Well, it used to be like that, where it was just a tick box. But with the help of the media and interviews like this one, we are getting more and more people involved. For instance, we met with somebody from the University of Stellenbosch that is going to write a paper which is going to present overseas, as for, to tell people overseas what we are doing as far as participative democracy. So it appears to us that there's quite a lot of interest worldwide in what we are doing. So to make it effective is we will have to continue what we're doing. More and more people must participate in the calls for comment so that with the high profile that we are then creating, the government will just not be able to ignore us any longer.
Another area of skepticism, if you like, or criticism, and I'm not saying that this exists, but it's just a thought that comes to mind, is that, you know, perhaps some of these initiatives, people might argue, come from a kind of middle class or upper class, people interested about safeguarding certain privileges, and it does not speak perhaps to the the needs or the wider system of inequality or poverty or racism that might affect the lower rungs of society. People might ask argue that this might assist particular causes, but for us down there on the ground, how is this going to help us?
Well, I'm happy to answer you in that way, to say that in Cape Town, what we're doing, we are reaching right to the grassroots. In fact, we get requests when there's issues specifically pertaining to the city of Cape Town. We get plenty of requests for people that do not have smartphones, that actually want to participate via SMSs, and that is something that we are going to be taking up with the city of Cape Town to allow people to send SMSs as far as to give their written input into some of the calls for comment. The good news I do have is that our first success was when the city of Cape Town in December 2017 wanted to install a drought charge. And we then sent the city 61,002 emails, and they had to scrap the drought charge because at that stage it was just overwhelming. It was unheard of that so many people would participate in a thing like that. Then the second thing, achievement that we had was that with the budget, now the City of Cape Town's budget is like 1,883 pages, and we went through it, we unpacked it, and we gave as much information on the budget as possible to every single person that we could find on social media. One thing, the city wanted to increase our water tariffs by 55%, and after the public participation, it was increased by only 10.1%. And there were various other small little things. However, we did detect then that the city did not go through all our emails. But the thing that we can do in future is that because it is written in the law, one can take them to court if they keep on doing it as tick boxes. However, our organization is not strong enough yet to do that, but we are mustering up more power and more support from the man in the street so that eventually we can take them to court if they continue using these call to comment as tick boxes.
You mentioned these your submissions of emails, participating in reading through relevant draft legislation, perhaps thereafter going to public hearings where required. This requires time, it requires resources, and many people might say that this is beyond us. We don't, as much as we recognize its importance for us to go out and actually do this is simply impossible in the daily rut of life. Is there a simpler way for people still to make their voices heard without necessarily attending every hearing or reading through entire acts, etc.?
Right. That is exactly the mission of Dear South Africa. That is to actually unpack in a non-biased way what the changes to the legislation is or what the new proposed legislation would be. So what we would do is we would unpack it in such a way that it is in bite sizes. So As far as the Cape Town area goes, we disseminate information via the Stop COCT group on Facebook, and we also publish as far as we possibly can in the newspapers information. We write articles, so we are really attempting to do the legwork on behalf of the man in the street that don't understand it. However, every single decision that government make eventually does influence the person in the street and the person in the street's lives. So the social media is actually a wonderful platform to reach people that 2, 3, 10 years ago couldn't be reached, where one had to physically phone them, and where the public hearings were essential. And it didn't work so well because one would have a public hearing and a whole lot of people would only find out about it a week later when it's already been. So that is the biggest disadvantage of public hearings, is that the things aren't advertised properly. What government mostly do is they would put one ad in say the Report or one in the Cape Argus, because we've been watching it very carefully. So they would advertise it once, even though they are supposed to be advertising it everywhere. So what Dear South Africa is endeavouring to do is to get the information out to the people.
Here's my penultimate question to you, Sandra, and this is with regard to, as I mentioned at the beginning, the election season now thrust upon us. What is the approach of active citizenry? What's your advice to the normal citizen here in South Africa? How do we navigate through this election season, all the politicking, all the promises that will be made, and with what mindset do we enter this season so that, we are able to be fully aware of all that is being said, understand the gravity, and also have within us the mechanisms or an understanding to ensure that whatever is said, people will be able to follow up or held to account at whichever stage would be relevant?
Right. My answer is information. One can only make proper decisions if you have proper information. So people really need to get off their armchairs, read manifestos, read the newspapers, listen to the politicians, hear what they are saying, and listen with open ears. And what one should be listening for is what is typical what a human being should be doing, but we don't do it as far as politics are concerned. You should ask, what is in it for me? What are they going to do for me? For instance, again, I'm using the example here in Cape Town. We have incredibly high water tariffs. Our municipal bills have really skyrocketed. So we have pensioners here. We have the man in the street whose biggest expense is paying the municipality of the city of Cape Town. So people must listen and hear. Are those things being addressed? Are they actually talking about the things that hit your pocket? And if not, find somebody that is actually making the right noises, that is going to make life better for every single person, not just for the privileged few.
Just before you go, Sandra, you spoke about your campaigns, referred to the Stop the City of Cape Town campaign and obviously the larger one for all South Africans, Dear South Africa, and you send out communiques via these particular platforms on a regular basis. Where can we find some of the information that you release on a regular basis?
Right. The main website is dearsouthafrica.co.za, and then there's another website. There are local websites, so we have a dearcapetown.co.za. As far as Eskom is concerned, we have eco.co.za, which is also in the Dear Initiative. And then what we typically do is on Mondays we send out a newsletter to our 600,000 strong database. So there we give people information about all the calls to comments. Some of the ones that's countrywide, we send out countrywide, and once it pertains to a certain area where we are quite strong in Cape Town, so we would then send those ones only to the Cape Town people. So people must look out for those emails, and if they want to join or they want to receive the emails, they must go onto our website, thedearsouthafrica.co.za, and subscribe to our website. And the easiest way to subscribe is to go onto the website. Currently, there are about 4 calls for comment, and the minute you complete the form on a call for comment, you are added to the database. And if you do not want to receive any more of our emails, you just subscribe. As it is as simple as that.
Absolutely. The website, once again, dearsouthafrica.co.za, and as Sandra mentioned, a few other platforms there as well. Thank you so much for speaking to us. I think a very important discussion, and hopefully this shapes our mindset as we enter into this highly charged election season. Thank you so much, Sandra.
Thank you.